Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. We had no audio. Refresh the browser. Refresh for audio. I'm now a pro of the no audio bug. I'm resetting the stream within the intro, so you don't even get to see my face without sound. I can recognize the signs that the bug is going to occur, and now but it would be so much better if Odyssey finds a way to automatically reset stream instead of relying on my clicking on the button. What does this button do, Odyssey? What does it do? How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Tonight is a chill show, not much happening in the news. I've been working hard. I have a little injury here. Somehow a kind of pimple that has developed from an impact with the shovel. I've been shoveling a lot. Here is my accomplishment for now. The greenhouse is looking good. I have now four lines of water. One is here. One we don't see on the picture is here. Another one is up here. And two of the lines are automated. And two of the lines, this is a line that goes outside of the greenhouse for watering the potato field and everything. And these are at will. They're not automated. They're just sprinkling water for sparkling the whole fields once they will be planted. And this year I've used a different approach. Last year we had covered the whole thing with a newspaper. A newspaper is good to stop the herbs, but it doesn't last for long. So eventually the herbs, the weeds, they find a way to overcome the newspaper. So this year I'm using a different technique. I got this landscape fabric. It's the black thing here. I'm putting the whole roll covering the whole greenhouse. And then I'm arranging my rows so that under the landscape fabric, I've put some manure, cow manure, sheep manure also. So the sheep manure is store-bought. The cow manure comes from a farmer close to us. And so under the fabric, you have extremely good soil. And also in between the rows, I put some wood chips because Mama JF had found so much wood chips. We have a whole pile that we can use. No matter the quantity used, there will always be wood chips, it seems, because I've been digging in the pile and it's not been emptying the pile at all. The pile is still there and there's still plenty of it. So it seems I'll be able with this landscape fabric to retain humidity because the landscape fabric lets water pass. So the water passes under and it stays there. And because it's protected from the sun, because the fabric is black, you end up having first, less weed problem, so only those things that I plant will grow, and also more retention of humidity. I don't know if I've put too much wood chips, but I think it's going to be good. The wood chips, they hold the fabric in place so that it doesn't go in the wind. I have some plants that have survived the winter, many garlic here, garlic. That's also a line of garlic. We have some garlic here. We have some sage that has survived. We have a plant of kale that has survived here. We have thyme and we have our strawberries, which survive every year. So that's what it's looking like. Bigot Small says, too much microplastic breakdown everywhere. Unnecessary. Oh, it's certainly unnecessary, but it's luxury gardening. It's if you really want zero weed. That being said, microplastic, I don't know. This is a fabric. It looks like it's made in cotton or something like this, something that lets oxygen pass. So I don't know that there's any plastic there. And I think my soil is extremely healthy. It comes from a combination. Across the years, I've built with store-bought compost, homemade compost from our kitchen leftovers and our leftover vegetables, and cow manure now at this point. Sigidam Sengis says, what's with the word manure? It's just manure. Well, I don't know. I don't know how it's supposed to be said. I'm a French guy, so I'm the worst person to ask to. But in any case, that's the status. And I've made a whole path that is protected by landscape fabric, a whole path of wood chips here, which allows me to come with my wheelbarrow and go across the different sections of the greenhouse. So that's a path that is a little larger, less place for the rows, but more place for the wheelbarrow to access different spots. I can't wait to see what those garlics look like, but I won't be harvesting them until the end of the summer. Hopefully they have become full garlics. Sigadam says, didn't think anyone would get that reference. It's a re Okay, it's a Seinfeld reference. Well, I will never get a Seinfeld reference because I have never watched that thing. I know it's been very popular, but I guess it was another era, not one in which I was paying attention to American TV. And no, I'll never watch Seinfeld. Vol says, because it's the most important thing in life, the setup where your genes are judged and also have the opportunity to replicate, it's really a life or death situation. Oh yeah, that was in response to Firestarter saying, JF, is there an evolutionary reason why people get nervous talking to people they want to bang? Well, I think that nervousness in general, what is it? You have to ask what it is. In general, it's a rush of hormones in your body. I believe adrenaline and some other things. And what they do is they turn on your body for maximal performance. They turn on your cognition for maximal thinking and maximal decision making. And so it would make sense that you become extremely nervous in those instances where, as Val says, it's a life or death situation. And from the perspective of the genes, the moment of dating is as much a life or death situation as if you were faced with a tiger, because the tiger can end your line of genes, but the woman can also. If she refuses you, you won't get a line of replication, and so you might as well be dead. So yes, it makes total sense that the hormones for nervousness would be triggered in those moments. The act of reproduction is an extremely important moment in which you are accessing the chain of infinity, the chain of infinity that links you to the 4 billion years of ancestors before you, and the potential that you will lead to a living life, a line of descent that will last for 4 billion more years. So it's the stakes are high. It's a very important moment. Lapitop says, question. Hard. By the way, we have someone already. Reyes is on the Discord. If you'd like to speak to me tonight, the Discord is open. Join the Discord server at discord.jfg.world. The link is in the description below. And you can simply join the waiting room. And whenever I see someone in the waiting room, I'll finish what I had to say and then I'll jump to them. Reyes, I'll get to you very soon. Also, if you'd like to send super chats to support the show, use the Odyssey platform. Right below the regular chat to your right, you will see a dollar button. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats and questions. Alternatively, if you don't like it, you can go to Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Lapitop says, hard to formulate briefly my question, so please interpret in a charitable way. Given that sexual recombination speeds up and helps good mutations slash good adaptations come together with different origins and in every ever new combinations, how do males evolve efficiently given the fact that the Y chromosome isn't recombined? Oh, that's an interesting question. I've never heard it in that sense, but there's a connected question, which is why in the hell do the mitochondrial genes keep males alive? think about it. The mitochondrial genes, they find themselves in a male. They will never pass on to the next generation. I mean, and then you'd have some people say, well, sometimes there's an accident and sometimes a mitochondria stays in the sperm. Okay, but leaving that aside, in general, if you are stuck in a male and you're a mitochondria, it's the end of your life. It's the end of your line of descent, and there is nothing you can do that can help the reproduction of your genes further. Because the babies that will be produced by this male will all have the mitochondrial genes of the female. And so there's a big question about these pieces of chromosomes that are unique to females or unique to males and that exclusively pass through the paternal or maternal line. Why do they even care about making the other sex viable? Now, it doesn't come in your case because you ask about the Y chromosome, which is a different situation. Unlike the mitochondrial genome, the Y chromosome never finds itself in a woman. Now, you're going to have the leftists say, oh, yeah, I know a woman. It never finds itself in a biological woman. Okay. And therefore, the Y chromosome strictly evolves for producing males. So there's no problem for the Y chromosome to evolve here. The Y chromosome will be successful only to the extent that it creates efficient men bodies to inseminate females, and it can hope to be present in 50% of the children thus produced. So there's no problem at all. The Y chromosome, the better males that it makes, the more males, babies that it will have in the future generation. So no problem at all. Your question should be asked about the mitochondrial genome. And the question isn't about so much why does the mitochondrial genome evolve, because it does evolve to keep the females alive. But there's a serious biological question about why it keeps men alive at all, because they find themselves in a dead end. And the way you can see it is the mitochondrial genome doesn't have an interest in keeping men alive, but it also doesn't seek particularly to kill them. And so this will make you think about scenarios like Parasite Eve, the computer game in which there was a revolution of the mitochondrial genome, and it was giving people superpowers. So basically the mitochondrial genome doesn't have to kill men, but it evolves to help a human body. And as it turns out, a man is capable of taking that help in and using it to its advantage. But the mitochondrial genome is not evolutionarily incentivized at helping men have oxygen, which is kind of scary when you think about it. We're kind of living on the edge, living on the fence of existence, when our main source of energy production and oxygen consumption is a thing that doesn't care about keeping us alive. It's just a machine that turns out that because it was keeping the females alive, it's also good for us, and we're kind of recycling it. Firestarter says, Jeff, but isn't it counterproductive to be nervous when dating? Calm seems to be more dating successful. So why isn't calm evolved to be standard emotion when dating? Well, I think that if you were genuinely calm, I think you would have issues. You would probably say something stupid. You would be careless. You would not be at your top. I think that the best, I think that the sweet spot of human evolution for dating brought us to: you have to be nervous to have your maximal cognition, maximal muscle, maximal posture, but you have to be able to hide it, which is a further demonstration to the female. Hey, not only do I have everything that it works in terms of hormone release in my body, I'm genetically fine on this, I even have the genetic capabilities to have a cognition that makes it look like I'm not nervous. So I think this is the sweet spot that our genes are looking for. They want us to be maximally nervous, and the female must probably detect some kind of that, some amount of that nervousness. But then probably the female selects the male for his ability to hide it cognitively. So this demonstrates an enormous capacity for self-control to both be nervous and be able to hide it, which is why women, they will tell you they like calm guys. They don't want a guy who's fawning over them and who's overly nervous when he talks to them. They are looking for the superior cognitive capacity that comes as an umbrella to override the primary biological programming. That's how I would think of it, but it's a hypothesis. That's Sick Bro is with us. Hello, That's Sick Bro. You're gonna have to enable your microphone through Discord. So I'll put you back in the waiting room and make sure you enable your microphone so we can hear you. I wanted to talk about The Batman 2022, a new Batman movie. It's worth it. It's not a terrible movie. I don't like superhero movies, but I watch them all. And, you know, there is no way a Batman can be as interesting as Joker. Even the first Joker with Heath Ledger. That was extremely good, but not perfect. And then the Joker with the most recent Joker movie, that was just insanely good. The Batman 2022 is somewhere maybe along the Heath Ledger first Joker level of performance. It's just a good movie, and it's worth watching it. It's a movie that you have to appreciate for what it is. It's a movie of aesthetics, of looks, of emotions, of darkness. It's all about how it's filmed. There is no equivalent of the Joker that comes as a spectacular character. There is also no ideological structure of the kind we see in Joker, where it's a whole allegorical metaphor around humor, comedy, and liberty. There's none of this, really. They try to make it a deep story of personal hate and fatherhood, but it doesn't really catch because it's not interesting enough. Interestingly, the Joker, the Batman is played by Robert Pattinson, who is the guy who plays in Tenet, the physicist in Tenet. He gives a totally different Batman than the classical ones, where Batman doesn't look like an honorable, muscled type of guy. Now Batman looks more like an emo teenager. And really, the guy looks, the way I would describe it, Robert Pattinson in this particular role with his whole, he has dark makeup around his eyes. He looks like an emo teenager. He looks like Ryan Dawson, who would have lost weight. And I'm not saying that Ryan Dawson is fat. Ryan Dawson is a beautiful but very well-built man. Imagine Ryan Dawson loses 100 pounds. He looks like Robert Pattinson in this Batman. So it's a very depressive Batman, and what I like about it is that everything fails. Everything fails. The Gotham City does get destroyed by the crazy guy. And the crazy guy in this movie is not the Joker. It is the Riddler. And the Riddler is not as interesting as the Joker, but he's a man on a quest of vengeance. He's a man who's pissed off at the health system. So there's also some aspect of psychiatry in this. Basically, he was an orphan and, you know, handled by the psychiatric system early in his life. Yes, I'll check Entropy, Clout, and Chair very soon. I'll just finish this analysis of Batman. So he's been involved in the psychiatric system and has had the hopes triggered by the mayor and the promises that were done to him, that there would be a new renewal, that the world would get better and there would be funds to help him live a better life as an orphan. And he was, of course, disappointed that none of it happened. So as an adult, he goes on a quest of vengeance to kill as many people in Gotham City as he can. And he, there's an aspect of this movie that's all about streaming. So he becomes a niche e-celeb with 500 followers, and he organizes through his followers who give super chats, and it's hilarious how they've integrated the streaming culture to Batman. And for once, it's well done. You know, the streaming culture is often misrepresented, and You saw a couple of movies try to do it, and it's always either super comedic and kind of cartoonish. But in this case, he just seems like a guy with 500 followers on the internet who's like, yeah, we're gonna fuck things up. And what's great about the movie is that he succeeds. You know, Batman mostly fails. It's like, okay, Batman sees his plans and kind of slows them or stops them. And he stops the whole crew from shooting the entire crowd. But there's definitely people dying from these terrorist actions. And I mean, he floods Gotham with water by blowing up the dams and everything. So I like the fact that the villain succeeds to some extent in this movie. Now, there's also lots of cringe. Batman, it's kind of the whole... Batman learns that vengeance is not the solution and that he must help. And so at the end of the movie, you see him dragging people out of the water, and it's like almost a politician scene where he's pausing for helping people. And it's the whole concept of, well, if this evil guy was on a quest of vengeance, then Batman cannot be the man of vengeance. So no, it's not New Orleans. Clearly Gotham City is a representation of New York City. Very clear, I think, from the images. So, but the Riddler at the end has a very good scene where he's stuck in the psychiatry hospital or prison, and he talks to Batman, and you realize that he's just a fucked up guy who's been fucked up by the system. Another aspect of cringe is the whole Catwoman aspect of this movie. The Catwoman being, we find out eventually in the movie that she's the daughter of a big mafia guy, and there's a whole police thing around him and around finding what he did and eventually capturing him. She wants to kill her dad, but eventually Batman convinces her of not doing it. And the way she speaks to Batman, it's like a leftist SJW. She says, oh, we can see that you come from privilege. And despite Batman having his mask so that we can't see that he's Bruce Wayne, it's kind of letting you believe that for a moment she knows it's someone coming from privilege, but it's really leftist speak. And other than this, there's not much political sense to this movie, but it's well filmed in terms of a dark movie that is beautiful visually, probably one of the most beautiful Batman ever done. Very dark, very Halloween theme, and the whole goal of the movie is Batman tries to solve these murders. So it's impressively unlike most Batman, which is Batman combats crime. Here it's more Batman investigates, and it's more like, it feels like a police type of investigative movie. But all that being said, it's a movie worth watching, if only to wait at the end At the end, there is a crossing with the Joker. Of course, spoiler alert, but at the end, the crazy guy, the Riddler, finds himself imprisoned or in a psychiatric hospital, and in the cell beside him, there's the Joker, and he's just comforting him and telling him everything's going to be okay, and Gotham City loves a comeback. So it was great to hear the Joker again. It's a kind of relief because I would want to see Joker 2 as soon as possible, but I'm happy that I've seen him a couple of minutes in this cameo appearance. That being said, it's not the same actor. In this case, I believe the Joker was played by some random actor. So, but his face is in the dark, so you don't even get to see him. Ariel Suarez says there should have been more action nonetheless. Yeah, it's not a movie of action. There's a couple of, but to me, that's better. I really hate action scenes. I care about the structure of a movie in terms of character development, psychology, and everything. All right, let's see if that sick bro has fixed his mic. Hello, that sick bro, are you there? Hello, that sick bro. I see that you've successfully unmuted yourself, but somehow your mic is not detected by Discord, so you have to set it in the gears icon at the bottom right. So if you want to go do that, I'll try again to talk to you later. M is joining us. Hello, M, how are you doing? Oh, he joined us and then he disappeared. Well, anyways, let's have a look at Entropy. Motia has sent a super chat, $10. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, good afternoon, JF. Wouldn't you say lack of accessible abortion on demand would be detrimental to overall freedom in society? Unwilling parents, too dumb to use contraception, will only rise mentally ill leftists who want the state to be their mommy. As usual, have a good one. There's a question there. The thing you have to ask yourself is, in those states where abortion will be limited, is this really a law that will mostly have a differential effect, releasing leftist children into the world? I don't think so. I think that in those states where these laws will come, those will be states where you have more Republican, more right-wingers. And so I think that these laws will ultimately be neutral at least, or maybe even help the Republican birth rate to some extent. You have to understand that in these Democrat states, there will be no such law. So if the legislation is controlled by the Democrats in those states that have big cities that dominate their politics, you'll have plenty of abortion, of plenty of leftists still. So I think it's an error to think that abortion somehow as a positive eugenic effect that we should welcome. I don't think it's the case is that strong. I've never seen the stats. You should show me the stats. But it is my view that the places where those laws will be enacted are mostly Republican. And anyways, beyond the just the mere question of would this child have become a leftist or would he have become a right winger? There is also the question of the culture that you create in your locality. When you say abortion isn't allowed by law, you create a culture of respect for life. And that culture of respect for life, I would suspect, overall in society, will touch the heart of potentially Republican mothers. I think, worst case scenario, if you're truly a leftist inside, you'll just travel to another state and get your abortion. But the cultural shift here will be to center life around the family and center life around baby production. And I think we should welcome this this change positively, rather than have the reflex of just asking for the basic mathematical question of, oh, how much leftists are getting aborted. It doesn't really work that way anyways. You're going to do the simple calculation, and then you're not going to include all sorts of things, such as truly devoted leftists will travel to another state, so they will be affected by the eugenic effect. Truly devoted leftists will eventually live in a state where it's allowed by law, so the laws against abortion will not affect them. And then the cultural effect, which will apply only to Republican areas and which will overly touch the heart of potential mothers-to-be who are right-wing, all of it together, I think that we must keep ourselves from making the simple eugenic case here and think about the greater effect, including these three factors. Let's talk again with Datsik Bro. Hello, Datsik Bro, do you hear us? Datsik Bro, you keep coming back to Discord, but you are unable to set up your mic and earphone. Set up your mic and earphone before you come back. All right. Live UA map of the Russian-Ukraine conflict. Not much is happening. I'm surprised by airstrikes on Kharkiv, because it seemed that Kharkiv had been abandoned by a troop withdrawal, but these airstrikes may indicate that the Russians aren't willing to abandon Kharkiv, or at least they are seeing it as needing some degree of interference in their military activity. Other than this, the conflict continues south of Izium and around Popasna. That's where you see some artillery shelling. M is here. Hello, M. How are you doing?
Hi, JF. I hope you can hear me loud and clear.
Yes, I can hear you.
Awesome. So I was wondering, what is the best dating strategy to acquire as many high-quality females? And I know it sounds kind of cheesy and stupid, and it was probably asked already, but what is the strategy to acquire as many high-quality females for the purposes of reproduction? What do you think about that?
If you want to engage in reproduction, do you need multiple females?
Well, if I want as many children as I possibly can, it is beneficial certainly to have multiple females at hand.
Well, the problem is, if you don't live the nuclear family lifestyle and the monogamous lifestyle, then you're going to end with very low quality female. You're going to end with party females who are fucking anyone they see and will not be loyal to you. This doesn't seem like a very productive direction to take.
But what if I just say have one girl for like 3, 4, 5 years,
okay,
make a bunch of babies, and then move to another and use the same strategy, and then another and another, sort of,
okay,
mix of monogamy and polygamy.
All right, what I've once called serial polygamy. That's okay. I would only do this if they leave you. But when they leave you, you have no choice. You have to get to the next. So the strategy, the thing is, you say a female of quality. What is a female of quality to you? Because normally I would assume this means a loyal female. But in your case, you've opened up on polygamy, and I'm like, are you looking for a loyal female or a beautiful female?
Well, by high quality, I first of all mean that I don't want to raise someone else's children. Obviously, polygamy only works for me, not the female. That's
oh,
the thing.
Well, you are you are quite asymmetric in your treatment of polygamy.
You know, I can live with that, but What was the question again? I'm sorry.
So what is a female of quality to you?
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, first of all, someone who is not leftist, someone who is able to raise children to not be mentally ill or deficient in any matter that is not genetical. So someone who is able to be on a base level intelligent and sociable enough to pass these skills to a child. So that's a low standard of quality, but that's something I'd rather consider while choosing a female.
Okay, well then I would aim for three axes of how do you maximize your ability to find those females. One is you need a filter, and that filter can be various things. It can be, for example, pick females that are only in community gatherings related to a church. So if you revolve around churches, you're going to get a female that is believing in God, God-fearing, and right-wing, a little more right-wing at least. I don't think that females can be right-wing, but a little more right-wing. That's a first thing. So work on your filter, that is, work on your exclusion criteria. So you won't go find a single female in a bar that's hanging alone and that wants to fuck you in the first night. That is a first step. The second axis is your value on the market. If you want to attract these females who are loyal and who will produce children of quality, you need to be returning the favor. You need to be valuable enough that they desire you. So you do this by improving your standing in the social community, your money, your ability to survive, and your ability to show that you are a provider. And you can also work on your looks and have a better physique, but all of this will come combined to set your value on the dating market. So filter number one. Second, work on yourself and be desirable. And we can get into the details, but basically, if you have money, you are desirable. And the third aspect is initiate as many contacts within the settings that you have decided for your filter, for your number one. Initiate as many contacts. Any woman that is alone, is not accompanied by a man, is a potential target, and you must initiate a discussion. If you initiate 1,000 discussions, there will at least be 5 of these women who will want to marry you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Although I heard most of it in the past, but I guess there's just one strategy to acquire optimal number of children with the criteria that I'm giving. Well, all right then. Thank you very much for the answer. I appreciate that. That's actually all that I have for you tonight. So,
all right. Well, thank you for calling, and good luck with the dating.
Thank you so much for that. Bye bye.
Yeah. So those are the three principles at play. Perhaps we could put first work on yourself, because it's the most important thing. Ultimately, the desirability of the male is going to set whether you are working in, you know, you're throwing your energies out the window. Because if you're not desirable at all, then you will contact 1,000 females and none of them will be interested in going out with you. So you have to start with being valuable and desirable. And one sure way to do this is to have money or to have standing in some realization, like having a PhD. I was joking the other day with the caller that, you know, you make a PhD, it won't serve you on the job market, it won't serve you on any market, but it will help on the dating market. Amazing Meerkat sends a super chat on entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, "Hi, sir. Do you think there are justifiable cases for a divorced father not to participate in his children's 12-year-old upbringing if he, A, stays separately from them for years, B, cannot find a common language with their mother, hostility?" Absolutely not. This is not a justification to deprive children of contact with their fathers. First, I will point out the problem with this is that you're going to check if the mother is hostile and you're going to punish the father and the children for the mother being hostile. That is absolutely ridiculous. First, if we had a sensical family court law, we would make it so that a female cannot appropriate her children by being hostile. All a female has to do to get a full custody of children is to be evil and to abuse men. So the man has to leave the house. If he doesn't leave the house, she calls the police and she makes false allegations and he's done. And then once he leaves the house, she can argue in family court, well, our relationship is too hostile, so he cannot come back to take care of the children. We should do a tabula rasa of all this crap and say, you will not appropriate full custody by being an evil bitch. In fact, we will punish this behavior. This behavior should be punished. So if there is hostility with their mother, what the family court should do in an ideal situation is, okay, create a situation where there's 50-50 custody, but the parents don't have to interact. So you just create a situation in which the children switch place, but they don't have to be in the presence of the mother and the father at the same time. Simple as. So absolutely not for your B. It's a ridiculous reason. There should be the family court should be equipped so that no matter the amount of hostility, it sets a 50-50 schedule. And that's it. And if the parents cannot coordinate, then so be it. The time under which the child is under the father's cares, you will have the father's decision. And the time under which she's under the mother's care, you will have the mother's decision. Absolutely not. And then your initial A was stays separately from them for years. The problem is in a world that would have a just family court and the father would abandon the children, then perhaps that would be justified, but it's not our world. In our world, the father has no other choice than abandon the children because the threshold for demonstrating that he's not a criminal and not an abuser is basically impossible to reach in family court. So I reject this argument also. In our current world, you cannot put it on the father's shoulder that they abandon their children because there is simply no way for them to see their children other than accepting to be observed in a cage of the state for 3 years at 1 hour a week having relationship with their children until then they are released. Basically, what they are asking for currently in family courts to a father who has done nothing wrong, they are asking him to sacrifice 3 years of his life being under state surveillance in a prison. You have to voluntarily go to a prison, which they call, of course, Child Protective Care Center. It's a prison. It's a state prison, and they film you, and they have a 24/7 surveillance of all of your interactions with your child. That is not a context in which abandoning the child is the fault of the father. It's not an abandonment. If the state is trying to torture you with over-surveillance and assumptions of guilt of being an abuser, then it is not child abandonment. What's happening is your child has been kidnapped and you have refused to collaborate with the terrorists who have kidnapped him, and the terrorists are the state. This working mom is Republicans' best shot at unseating Marjorie Taylor Greene if they want to. Jennifer Strachan walked up and down the main street of Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene's hometown with a mission to make sure as many potential voters as possible know who she is before Tuesday's Republican primary. It's unbelievable to see CNN rooting for a Republican candidate just because they hate the alternative so much more. So you see CNN get into the Republican primary, but only to really hurt the candidate that they really don't like, which is Marjorie Taylor Greene. The WHO warns monkeypox could accelerate during the summer. CDC alerts US doctor as virus reaches 13 countries. Health authorities in Europe, North America, and Australia have begun to investigate an outbreak of monkeypox, raising concerns that a broader outbreak of the viral infection could be underway in the West. Monkeypox, look at the blisters that it leads to. Pop, 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 pop. Yeah, I don't know this disease. It's like a smallpox version that's circulating in Africa. My position is that we still shouldn't be too worried about this. I think it's going to be okay. That's sick, bro. I'm doing another attempt. Can you receive us now?
Hey, JF. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh my God, I was trying so hard for so long. Oh my God, okay. I'm
well,
so
you
right
figured
now.
It out. Hi, so Jeff. We're live now.
I actually had to download, like, the mobile app did not work. So I'm actually using the web version on Firefox. So that
yeah,
finally is working.
That always is better. Desktop computers still rule.
Well, no, actually, I'm on my mobile phone, actually, my cell phone. So yeah.
Oh, okay. So it didn't work. Well, here's the thing. You shouldn't have used the Firefox entry point. You should have downloaded Discord on your desktop.
Right now, I'm actually working in the Albert Sands. So over here, I carry my desktop with me, unfortunately.
Okay. So what did you want to talk about tonight? Are you an Indian guy?
I am Indian, but yes, I...
This is the first Indian guy who's part of the audience of our show. Now, we lost your audio, as it is, I believe we should not consider this a technical issue. I think it's something within the tradition of the Indian people. they have mic issues. Okay, now we got you back. So that's sick, bro. You are an Indian person?
Yes, I am a Sikh guy, as you can see. Name? Yeah.
So Sikh is a religion in India?
Sikh is a religion in northern India. Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. And what brings you here? What did you want to talk about?
Well, JF, I've been a big fan of yours since past two years. So like over the past couple of weeks, you've been giving around a lot of advice. So maybe I can add.
Yes. So advice on what?
So basically, I'd like to discuss some parts of it, if that is okay.
Some what? Sorry.
Some part of my life, if that is okay. Just discuss
oh, yeah.
Some
yeah,
parts
yeah.
of
Go
my
ahead.
You and the audience.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm in my lease, and a few years, like life wasn't that good. So I decided to emigrate to Canada. So I am currently at work in Alberta.
That's a good place to be. Not so bad for Canada. You get a conservative, slightly more conservative lifestyle.
Yeah, more Kaiser for sure. And you know, I was growing up, I was like a full communist, but it has completely for me over the past.
Well, bro, your mic is going on and off. We're hearing a lot of noise. You're gonna have to figure out a better way to communicate to us. But if you can, now I'm hearing you. Can you say it quickly? What's your question?
Basically, I have my mother is forcing me into marriage, so I'm wondering what I should do. I thought I'll take some of your advice.
Wow, that is a very important thing. I'll be cutting your audio so that people don't hear the crackling in your microphone, but I'll give the answer that I can based on this information. Now, this is something I'm not used to. I don't know anyone who's had their choice, especially not a man, get his mother to choose the marriage and be imposed a forced marriage. Let me tell you this, though. I don't think you're in that bad of a situation. I think you should appreciate the cultural value of what is being imposed on you here, and also the super luck that you have, that you'll be paired with a woman who will accept to have sex with you and reproduce with you forever. There is some value here. And I know I'm technically and philosophically against forced marriage. I think it's an aberration and it removes the decision making from you. And I believe that a society is better ordered when the people who engage into a process are the ones who make the choice and are the ones who are paying the price. So ultimately, I'm against forced marriage. But bro, you get a free woman. She will have accepted forced marriage, so she won't be a feminist, blue-haired, revolted woman. And you get all of this for free due to the coordination of a social network between your parents and their parents. There is a big luck there. You will end up suffering much less than the average Western guy right now looking for a woman. So now I will unmute you so that we can hear what you think about this. What's your view on what I said?
I absolutely agree with what you just said. At the same time, like, you know, I had a girlfriend back in I'm a immigrant to Canada. And at the same time, I also have a girlfriend in Alberta. And like, my mom is trying to set me up with all these brown girls, so I'm not sure like who should be the correct pick. This is my actual problem.
So you had a white Canadian girlfriend?
Yes, I still have her. Yeah,
she lives. You still like, have
yeah,
her?
I live in Alberta as well.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, that is heartbreaking. You're gonna have to make a choice, I guess. The thing is,
yes,
the white Canadian girlfriend. Are you super happy with her? Is she a wonderful woman? And do you think that she could veer toward divorce eventually?
She is a wonderful woman for sure, and like, she wants five kids as well, so I'm very happy with her. But you know, she's a bit chubby, so that's the only negative point.
Well, your Indian, your future Indian imposed girlfriend is gonna be chubby too.
Oh, but like, my Indian girlfriend whom I just left when I came to Canada, she's like a stunning girl. She's very, very hot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But the thing is, again, like, I'm a Sikh and she's a Muslim. You know, like, no, like, they don't get along that well. So my mom, I don't think she'll accept that girl.
So I'm not sure what
I should be doing.
Well, you should be pursuing what is the best decision from your point of view. I mean, I was talking mostly for the forced marriage arrangement, assuming that you were single and that you would go through a lot of trouble to find a woman. But if you already have a woman and she's of quality, then it totally changes my calculation. Then I would tell you, if she's a woman of quality, if you find her chubby, that's a problem, you know, because eventually this is going to stack. As you make more babies with her, she's going to be less and less pleasant to your view and your eye and your dick, and you will be like disgusted by her eventually. So that's a problem, but if it depends on your personality. Can you surmount that problem and accept that as making a unification with this woman, it's worth kind of going over your preference against chubbiness? Or is it something that will cause problems later, you think?
I think it's some problems in the future, but the, like, I used to be pretty, like, I had a very bad motorcycle when I was 20. After that, I became really fat. And after that, when I was completely a built cuck, okay. And I found Rouge Wee, pretty much changed my life to say. And that's how I got to know you also, because if you remember, you once hosted a debate between Rouge Wee and Brie, if you remember that was a long time ago.
Now your mic is extremely annoying to hear because it's like. So let's try to get to the conclusion very quick with you. So this white girl, how old are you and how old is she?
28, and she's 24.
Okay, well, I mean, this seems like a woman of quality, and it would be very sad that you give her up for this, this chubby aspect. It all depends on your personality. You have to weigh all of this in your head and see what's worth it for you. But she seems like younger than you, so she's a good potential for having 10, 15 babies with you. You can go on a breeding career with her, no problem. If you can just step over your annoyance with her chubbiness and just do it. But what you need to do in any case is consecrate the rest of your life to reproduction and start engaging right now in it.
Oh, I absolutely want to do that, but she
okay, now she your mic is extremely good. I don't know what you changed, but now it's working good.
Oh, okay. I just plugged out my headset because I think that was bothering me.
Okay. Now that's very good. Now we can speak. So do you think you can do this with the white girl, or will you be going for the Indian pre-arranged marriage?
Yeah, that's the thing. So the kind of ladies my mom sends me, like, they are not bad either. So I'm like super duper confused right now. Like, if possible, maybe, you know, I can send you the pictures of me, of these girls. Maybe you can help me evaluate. I don't know.
Yes, you can if you want. But are the Indian girls that your mother is bringing to you, are you saying they are as good or better than her?
So they are like super duper pretty, Jeff. Like, they're like Bollywood quality girls, if you know what that is. They're really pretty.
How old?
Like, some of them are like, the last one my mom sent me was like 25.
25.
Mm-hmm. 25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But obviously I want a younger girl. Like, I'm okay with 24. Like, my girlfriend whom I just left before I came here, she was 23. She's a Muslim girl. My mom will definitely not like her. So I'll let her go.
Now, in terms of the psychology of the interactions, I hear a lot of echoes. Can you lower your speaker sound so that people don't hear the echo? In terms of the psychological relationship with the white girl versus the Indian girls, do you think that Indian girls are pleasant to live the rest of your life with? And with this white girlfriend of yours right now, would she be a pleasant partner for the rest of your life?
Well, the white girl is very nice as well. But the thing is, like, Indian girls, they're like relative. For example, the white girl I'm dating, like, she's my girlfriend. I do call her my girlfriend. She calls me her boyfriend. So according to her, she doesn't see a value in getting married. Like, she could just pop out kids and she would be okay with that. But I personally do obviously want to get married to whoever girl is the mother of my children, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you have a very good situation because it's a privileged position to be in to have too much choices. So I would tell you, it really doesn't matter which way you go. The white girl seems interesting. Mm-hmm. She comes with some disadvantage, including apparently being disconnected from a traditional and marriage lifestyle, which may be an early indicator that she's headed for divorce with you. So that's a problem, but the Indian girls also come with their problem. But it seems like you seem to appreciate their beauty. And so whatever you choose, I would tell you, in your case, the only thing I recommend is choose quick. You need to choose right now and get on with your life, get on with the reproductive life. It should happen now, today, or tomorrow, or next week.
Yeah, like I'm heading.
Well, we have lost it. These people are not Canadianizable. It's like, no matter how much of white people you stack over them, you can pile white people over them, you can put them in a country that has optic fiber into people's home, their internet still sucks. You can give them the optic fiber. Here, 1 gigabyte per second. Their internet still sucks. How do you do this? You have to emulate an entire analog system for audio. I mean, it must be a whole tower to emulate the low quality radio transmission of an Indian tech support guy. This guy is able to emulate this in an advanced nation that offers fiber optics to the shittiest person in society for the lowest price. Anyways, that's it, bro. Fix your audio. But we love you, and it was great to talk to you. You are in a very special situation. Quite fascinating that you have too much choice like this. But the only thing against too much choice is you have to choose. And it really doesn't matter. The white girl seems interesting. The Indian girls seem interesting. Get into action right now. Japan nuclear regulator green lights radioactive water release from Fukushima. So apparently Fukushima had accumulated lots of water that was radioactive. They're now releasing it. I think it's great. Release it, just dilute, count on nature to dilute the whole thing. And slowly it's going to disappear. Tesla unsecured Bluetooth hack allows thieves to steal vehicle. Tesla is in trouble sometimes with its technological aspect. I think that there's nothing better than a key, a physical mechanism for starting a car, for opening a door. Now people were able to hack through Bluetooth and unlock the doors of the Tesla. Very bad idea. Federal court judge blocks a new Alabama law that bans puberty blockers for kids. I hope that this case... So the law was basically making puberty blockers not available for kids. The judge now says you have to allow these puberty blockers for kids. I hope that it gets to the Supreme Court, because I think if Roe v. Wade is turned, then the question of health is in the hands of the states, and they can legislate about what's good and what's not good. If, as I said earlier, if a state can choose that you have to wear a mask, then it should be able to choose whether you can have an abortion, and it should be able to choose whether puberty blockers are good or bad. Definitely there's a balance of interest here in the puberty blockers. There is the fact that people are losing their capacity for reproduction forever. There's the permanent aspect of it. So definitely there's grounds for making it illegal. Justet says, #strike Utsav off the JFG blacklist, #, we need him back. I don't know, bro. I don't know if I want to speak to Utsav again. Sentient Potato is joining us on Discord. Hello, Sentient Potato. How are you doing? Well, Sentient Potato, it seems that your mic will have to be worked on, set it up in Discord, and I will come back to you. Russian media says head of Azov in custody after 2,439 total fighters surrender at the steel plant. So they have the head of Azov. They have now 2,400. Last time I checked, it was 1,700. So the capture of the forces of Azovstal seems to be completed. They seem to have pretty much everyone. Federal judge dismisses fraud and defamation lawsuit against Elon Musk. A federal judge in California dismissed a securities fraud and defamation lawsuit filed by Tesla investor against Tesla Inc., the company's CEO Elon Musk, and a Musk supporter on May 19. So the claim was that Elon Musk would have made baseless accusations against him and asserted that the tweets were part of a conspiracy campaign of 80,000 coordinated tweets that praised Tesla and attacked its critics. So a bizarre claim about a coordinated tweet action, when in fact, isn't it? This is all basically people expressing what they think about Tesla. So I don't think that Elon Musk is responsible for their tweets. And anyways, it's just an opinion. Let's see if Sentient Potato has fixed it. Sentient Potato, are you there? Hello. Okay, no, he didn't fix it. Swiss watch shortage spreads from Rolex to Cartier and Tudor. A top retailer of Swiss luxury watches warns robust demand and the lack of supply have sparked a perfect storm of global Rolex shortages that has spread to other leading brands, including Cartier and Tudor. Well, I don't care. We don't need those luxury watches. Not my type of thing. And so keep it short. I don't care. It's really, when you're down to buying these watches, you have too much money. You have too much money. You have to come and help me dig some stuff in the greenhouse, do some physical work, because you live in too much luxury. Let them eat bugs. How out-of-touch elites reveal their contempt and what comes next. I am bringing this up because recently modern political, financial, and media elites have made numerous let them eat cake remarks. Example 1, inflation is good. Example 2, no more turkey at Thanksgiving. Example 3, let your pets die. Example 4, gas is too expensive. Buy a Tesla. Yes, this one is particularly interesting because there's no way to save money buying a Tesla. You're just spending more money. There's no saving on gas because you're paying the whole amount at the beginning when you buy the Tesla. These electric cars are still not economically viable. Sentient Potato, are you there? Can you hear us? Well, it seems that we're not going to be able to speak with Sentient Potato tonight. And anyways, this was the conclusion of the show. Lappy Top says watches are obsolete anyways. Yeah, it's true. We don't need watches anymore. So that was it for tonight, boys. Much love. Thank you all for the support on Entropy. Thank you for the super chats. And thank you for the Patreon and Subscribestar supporters who are keeping this show alive. Based says, Utsav was the deceptive, divagating Punjabi. Do not bring him back, I say. No, it's too much trouble. And how he reacted badly to me saying, look, this is bullshit. You're bringing a conspiracy theory. I have to call it out on my show. And he was like, talk to me with respect. What is this? This is the Indian reaction to critique. We'll be right back.